I'm glad for all of you came, and I'm going to say it a bit later, but I can tell you this morning that God will never separate or isolate you from His bride, from the body. So it's always a good thing when you come to church. One or two announcements from my side. I really want to encourage you, most of you people, most of your friends sitting here this morning, I know, haven't heard Pastor Lucille May preach, and I can tell you she's a wonderful preacher, or preacheress. She's really anointed, and she's going to come and do something specific with us on that 27th of March. So I want to encourage all of you guys to be here. And then we're not going to announce it officially yet, but there's, I would say, a 90, maybe 95% chance that Pastor Fred May will come and visit us on about the 10th of April. So that's really wonderful, and they always impart something special to us. I remember last year, May, Pastor Fred, started preaching here on grace, and that's something we ran on with for a while. So please try and write it in your diaries, and please come and join us then. I believe it will really be a blessing. Good. The question, the name of my sermon is, or what I want to ask you guys this morning, and I really feel God was in the worship, you know. I really feel His presence were here. And Paul also came to me and just shared something with me. And I believe that we weren't just standing here and just sang a song and because we do it or feel good about it. I really believe God's presence is here. And I trust that some of you have already done business with God this morning, that you would have brought your hearts before Him. And I really trust that what I want to preach for us this morning. I don't want to just teach or share some theory or doctrine or anything. It's something that I really believe is important for us as a church right now. It's something I believe we can do a lot better. Some of our friends aren't here this morning, but we will definitely get a message to them as well. But I really believe it's important for us. So I want to ask you this morning, are you coming or are you going? And I asked the question to Reinhold, and he said, I am here. So that's a good thing that you are here this morning, because then you can listen, and then you can tell, maybe you can answer yourself afterwards, do you believe you are coming or you're going? I'll give a little bit of more context as I go on, and you will see what I mean with my question. I want to start to read to us from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 this morning. And it says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself, or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? So there's two words, examine yourself and test yourself. That's used in a specific context, but I want to ask us this morning that we, as to start off with, that you open yourself, just as when we were worshiping. I believe that God would have spoken to some of you guys, hopefully to all of you guys. But I believe that please keep your hearts open, that we can be able to examine ourselves. You know, it's like that old thing when one person asks the other person, is there something wrong? And he says, no, nothing. Then you can know there's a lot wrong. It's like almost like a given. Okay? So please be open, and I trust from last night, especially that the Holy Spirit will minister to you guys and to me this morning. Secondly, I prayed it as well, but it's something I noticed in Scripture recently. I'm going to read three Scriptures to you, and there's the one word occurs in both all three of those Scriptures, and the first one is in Luke 9, verse 23. And He said to all, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. In Acts 5, verse 42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And then lastly, in Luke 19, verse 47, and He was teaching daily in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy Him. So Jesus was also teaching daily. So I guess you can, by my emphasis, see which word I'm referring to. And that would be daily. If you go and do a search on the New Testament and you search the word daily, then you will see there was a lot of things that happened daily, especially concerning the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this is not really part of my sermon, but it's something that I believe all of us should take note of, guys. Our relationship with Jesus Christ is daily, you know, every day, every day of the year, 24/7. You know, many times we run fast and we're busy to study or to work or with our kids or whatever it might be, in meetings or doing sport, and then we tend to forget a little bit about Jesus Christ. You know, it does happen from time to time, I know. But I want to hold it before us this morning, guys, that daily we will serve Jesus Christ. Not just 10 or 20 minutes in the morning or before you go to bed at night, but daily. Maybe we'll speak a little bit on this in future again, but I want to encourage you guys, let's daily follow Jesus. It doesn't say from time to time take up your cross. It says daily, every day, the whole day. Now that's something that I believe is really important. And the more we get it right, the better the fruits in our lives will be. Amen. I was listening to one Shofar pastor that was actually preaching at the other Shofar church, and I think we are definitely doing better. But he was preaching, and it really went well. I could hear, and then at some stage in the sermon, he said, "Please say amen or something, because you're supposed to be charismatic." So when I listen to you guys in worship, I can see that you are, at least we are, a little bit more charismatic than the other church. So please feel free to say amen. Thank you. Good. I'm going to preach or teach about discipleship this morning. Now, who of you think that is an exciting topic? Some of you. Okay. Afterwards, I believe more of you will feel like that. Because, you know, these days, there's many things happening around us. There's the earthquakes in New Zealand, the floods in Australia, uprisings in North Africa and the Middle East, and many people, when you drive past in Olympia, you'll see Judgment Days, I think somewhere in May, they say. A lot of people are talking about end times. It was on the radio, and a lot of people get scared, and they ask, now, when is Jesus coming back, and are you ready, and am I ready, and we will talk about it. That is exciting. It's contemporary, and we will give attention to that. But you know what? We can't do that much about that. But we can do, when Jesus is coming back, Scripture says he's going to come like a thief in the night. It just means we don't know exactly when he's going to come back. Otherwise, Scripture would have said the 12th of May, and then everyone could figure everything out. But that's not what Scripture says. So you can know, I don't know those guys really, but I don't believe it's biblical because I don't see it in Scripture. But concerning us, concerning discipleship, we can do a lot. We can do very much a lot. And I want to ask you guys, this is something important for us for where we are going to. Okay, this is not the biggest doctrine or the most exciting thing, I don't know, depending on from where you stand. I really feel it is. But it's something, what's the only thing that we can take to heaven with us? Not our wives, our cars or anything, but the disciples we make. Amen, at least we have an amen. Okay, we're going to get this right in future. Guys, the only thing that we can take into eternity with us is the disciples we make. Now, if I were to ask you, some of you are quite young still, but how many disciples have you made? Now, I'm not going to ask it, but it's a very good question, because Jesus gave a great commission and said we should do it. So he's not going to argue with us one day about doctrine and this way and that way. He's going to ask us. Okay, so I'm not saying it in a condemning way this morning, but I say it, it's really important. So I believe it's important that we talk about this this morning. You all know Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19, when Jesus came to his disciples, he talked to them and he said, "Go to the nations and make disciples. Teach them the things that I have taught you." You know that scripture? Amen. It's important. We all should know that. Now, this is something I believe in our church, we haven't got it right the way we can. I think we can do a lot better, and I'm going to focus a lot more on small groups and discipleship for this next while to come. You know, when you are born again, when you know Jesus Christ, you know, that's wonderful. But my little girl was also born 9 months ago, and she can do nothing for herself. Okay? So it's very important that we understand how to disciple someone. What does it mean? I'm going to ask two of you. Let's be a bit interactive this morning. Can one of two of you tell me, what does it mean? What is disciple making? What's it about? What does it mean? Let me ask you, what is discipleship about? I want to see at least one or two hands. Okay. Okay, then I'm definitely preaching about the right thing. If most of you don't know, because if you don't put your hand up, I'm assuming this morning you don't know. Who of you, by putting up a hand, does know what it means to make a disciple? I know. Few of you guys. Most of you don't. Did Jesus make disciples? Okay, so it's biblical. It's a good thing. Okay? Guys, then I'm spot on this morning, I guess. It's really important. To make a disciple is a deliberate process. Come and visit me or Jepson or Dirk or Njakupi at our homes. We're raising kids. Hopefully we're discipling them as well. We're mentoring and coaching them. But it's a deliberate process to raise a little baby. It takes a lot of effort. Okay? So to make a disciple in the same way, it's a deliberate process. Now, sometimes I make a bad assumption that it's happening kind of because someone is at a certain place in which we're going to look at different stages of your spiritual growth. Okay? But it's not something that's just going to happen. It's something that we have to work on. I'm going to give you 10 steps or 10 basic disciplines of disciple making that we can all know. And I want to tell you, young people, you're not too young to make disciples. You're too young to raise kids. Don't do that, please. Okay? I can. You can't. But you can make disciples. You know, because if you are a half a year old in Jesus Christ, then you are half a year older than someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ at all. Okay? And the days and the times that we live in, what you have is enough to give. You can equip you always better, but please give what you do have. Amen. Okay. This discipleship, now you must, soos die Afrikaanse mense sê, spits julle ore. Point your ears. Discipleship is the process of becoming more like Jesus Christ and helping others to do so as well. Discipleship is the process of becoming like Jesus Christ and helping others to do so. Okay? So, when we follow Jesus, when we call ourselves Christians, that's just a nickname for the disciples of Jesus Christ. We become Christ-like. Okay? So when you are born in this world, you are zero Christ-like. Nothing. Okay? But when you come to Jesus Christ, when He calls you, when you are saved, when you are born again, then you start your walk with Jesus Christ. And then you'll find a father figure, like Henny, Pastor Henny Swar, that were here, I think, 3 weeks ago. You'll know he's a grown man in Jesus Christ. You find infants, young men, and then you find fathers. Okay? So I'm going to ask all of you this morning as well. That's why I said that examine and test yourself. Where do you think you are at in this process of making disciples? Now, as I said, discipleship is a process of becoming more like Jesus and helping the other to do so. So how is your progress in terms of becoming like Jesus Christ? And where are you at in helping other people to becoming like Jesus Christ? Now, me and someone, we just, before the sermon, we talked about, you know, just everyday life and things are fast and busy and everything. But guys, we can't neglect this. I can't neglect my little girl for 1 minute almost. Okay? So we can't neglect each other. You should be like, someone should be discipling you, and I'm taking a bit of blame for that definitely, because if you take the disc test, I'm an S person, personality. So I would like to disciple each and every one of you, but I can't. That's why Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, said to him, listen, Moses, you can't counsel all the people, appoint captains over the hundreds. Okay? So you're going to see something happen in church in the next while concerning discipleship. And I'm very excited about that. In Luke 6 verse 40, it says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. Okay? So, I would like to be like the Apostle Paul. Okay? That's something to work forward to. And I hope that you guys, from now onwards, that the person that's going to disciple you, or which are going to be in that relationship you stand, that you would like to be like that person, in terms of spiritual maturity. The Amplified Bible gives us a lot of information on the same scripture. It says, a pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, when he is completely trained, and then in brackets it says, readjusted, restored, set right, and perfected, will be like his teacher. Okay? So there's a lot of work. You know, if you come and visit me again, you'll see that I don't just give Gustav and Alwyn food. I give them many other things. I have to straighten those little trees. I have to help them in life to that they can become what God wants them to be. Okay? So here scripture says, readjusted, restored, set right, and perfected. So many times, when someone is helping you to become more Christ-like, we have to say to each other, stop doing this, start doing that. Now, I have testified in past, but you know, I believe there's a few reasons that I stand here today. But one of them is that someone took ownership over discipling me. And that was my friend, Pastor Jan Korbrink. Okay? So, and in that process, you know, you take someone with you. If you are the person that's doing the discipleship, okay, help that person, teach him what you know about fasting, about praying, about church, about small groups, about our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, you know, he rebuked me, he told me, listen, but you can't do that. And the key is then that we should be humble. If you do feel a little bit offended, I just look at Gustav this morning, and he was a little bit offended, my one boy, because Maritza didn't want to pick him up as we worshipped. But that 15 kilograms get heavy in a half an hour's time. So he was a bit offended. But if you were mature enough to go to God and ask him, is my mother right or wrong? He would hear in his spirit, she's right. She's the mother. She knows better. So I want to encourage you guys. We should be humble. You know, when somebody is teaching us the right thing, be open for it. Listen to it. It's not always nice. You know, when your father in the natural rebuke you or teach you something, sometimes you say, yo, I'm going to run away or walk away, that little demon thing in you. Hopefully it's not there anymore. Okay? But if it's for the better, take it and make it part of yourself and become more Christ-like. It's really, really important. Now, who needs to be discipled? All of us. There's a lot of scriptures that I can use this morning, but rich and poor, male and female, Jew and Gentile, and Greek, all of us need to be discipled. Not just, and who must do the discipling? All of us must go both ways. We can't just say those who are this old or have done Bible school too, or this or that. Now, obviously we have structures in church, so certain people will grow into structures and they will be the people that's doing the majority of the discipling. Okay? But what you learn in that process, you can teach someone else. Can I have an amen? So in our church, I believe we should raise up leaders by discipling them for the worship team, for the kiddies church, small group facilitators, zone coaches, people that can stand in the pulpit, etc. For every ministry, we should raise up someone by discipling him or her that they can take over from us. You know, because that's the legacy of Shofar Christian Church International. Around about 1990, Pastor Fred and Lucille May, both of them, if you haven't met them, they will be here in the next month. They just started interceding for Stellenbosch as a town in South Africa. And from there, they planted the church, but it wasn't the intention. God just led them to it. But today, there's in Namibia, in South Africa, in most provinces, and even in the UK, there's Shofar churches. And it's not just because we have lots of money and can send someone and start a church or something like that. It's about our mission statement. And it's linked to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. It says that we should go to the nations and the generations and make disciples, and we should do leadership development that we can plant churches. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. It's a fact. We're going to talk about it. You know? And there's going to be a certain time in history that it's going to be too late to give your life to the Lord. There's going to be a time and a day like that. When Jesus has come back, you know, in the end times, things are going to change. There's going to be a time that it's going to be too late. Okay? So, the more churches we can plant, the more leaders we have raised, the more disciples we have made, the more people we can reach. Because if I allow 3 minutes for every one of you guys, how many? It's about, say, 80 people sitting here this morning, give and take. Okay? If I give every one of you 30 minutes, and say, come and visit me, let's have coffee, and let's do a bit of discipleship. Okay? Then I'm never going to have a sermon to preach, probably, because it's going to take the whole week. Okay? So we have a structure in terms of how discipleship is going to happen. You are discipling each other. Are you with me this morning? Okay. Now, just a little bit on mentoring. mentoring isn't wrong. Jesus made disciples, but mentoring is a bit more one-on-one. It's a bit of a smaller group where you teach someone. It's very popular words these days. When you're a golfer or a sportsman, just a bit of advice for those of you who want to play golf. Don't just start and play golf. Get yourself a mentor. There's a lot of small things that he will teach you how to do it. Okay? So in Christianity, you know, it's also good to have someone who can mentor you also a bit. Give you the finer details of ministry. Okay? That's a good thing. It can happen in the worship team. It can happen in a small group even. Okay? Let me give you an example in mentoring. In mentoring, the protege learns and follows the mentor. Okay? The Apostle Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 and he says, "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." Okay? "Imitate me as I also imitate Christ." So the Apostle Paul is following Jesus Christ. But then he says, because he can, because he's an apostle, he says, "Follow me, see what I'm doing, and then you just do the same." Okay? So hopefully you would be paying attention. I won't say I'm a good preacher yet or anything like that, but if you were to preach tomorrow and you have never done it before, then maybe just think back a little bit about how I did it. And I'm saying that because I was looking at how Pastor Sias did it. And Pastor Sias, he looked at how Pastor Fred done it. Okay? So it's the same with raising kids. Sometime you can go back to your father or your mother and ask them, "Listen, what do you do when babies cut teeth, or when the nappy looks like this or that?" They know because they've done it before. So get yourself someone to look at what he or she is doing. Example, like Priska did the offering. Priska did the offering, Paul did the communion. So if I were to ask you randomly one Sunday morning and say, "Can you please do the offering, and it's 10 minutes before the time," then think back, what did those people do? Not because they're perfect or anything, but they've been doing it for a while. Okay? And that should be the heart, that we learn from each other in terms of learn from the fathers what we should do. It's wonderful, a privilege to have someone like David Resant in church that you know, that can be a grown man that has raised kids, that we can learn from when he was in the pulpit last week, and you are fortunate he's going to be here next week as well. Okay? So listen when someone like that is preaching, who's been preaching for many years, because he does a good job. Okay. Now I want us to look, so practically, how does discipleship work? What do we do? How does it work? Okay? I've got 10 things that I want to share with you. I can't go in too much detail. If you come and do Bible school, you'll get a little bit more. But most of you said you're not exactly sure how discipleship works. So please listen now. It's good habits if you can get and understand these things in your life. The first would be prayer. Prayer is our relationship with God. You can learn a lot from someone that knows how to pray. You know, when I was a young Christian, I've told it many times, when I listened to the mature people pray, I thought like, it's from a different planet, because I said, "Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine and my dog and this and that," and a few normal things, but it was fine for them, because that was where I was at. But people praying for the nations and the blood of Jesus Christ, and they come in agreement, those type of things, I didn't know it. Okay? So there's a lot about prayer that you can come and listen and learn. Intercession would be a good place to learn on that. Secondly, fasting, our relationship with the world. You know, food, the things around us, it's tough to fast. But we fast for a good purpose. I thought, like, also when I was a very young Christian, so why should I do this to myself? But if you think that way, you're missing the point. Okay? There's a lot more in fasting. Who of you have fasted before? Wow. So you know more about fasting than discipleship. Okay? Well, that's part of something that you can learn. So that's very encouraging to see you guys fast. Then thirdly, worship. That's also our relationship with God. It refers to our relationship with God. You know, when you are a self-centered person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, you know, then you're very full of yourself. You can even worship yourself. Okay? Or idols or things in your life, your car, your free houses, your money, your power, things like that. But you know, when we come to Jesus Christ and to God, then we learn to understand worship in a new way. And it will be actually nice when we have someone like Saunders that can share a bit, and I guess he will in future, about praise and worship and the value of that. So tell someone next to you the 3 points I've already shared up to now. Fourthly, Bible intake. Bible intake is our relationship with God's Word. You know, to read Scripture is crucially important. Now, many times as a young Christian, you can read the book of Hebrews or Revelation and you can understand, and you will understand nothing about what's happening there. You see, but then it's a wonderful place when you someone is discipling you, someone more mature. You can go to that person and ask him, now, what does the mark of the beast mean? Or how does, what is it, what is the Jews and what is the Gentiles and what is this whole thing between them, or the Greek or the Romans? You know, it's good when you have someone to ask something about that. Relationship with God, that's probably one of, that's the most important thing. Read the Word, to study the Word, to meditate the Word, memorize the Word, and believe in the Word of God. You know, when I was young and I read it, I just did it in a sense because I believed it was the right thing. But today when I open the Word of God, which is alive, and I read it, I enjoy it so much. You know, I can share with you this morning, there's not once in my office when I open Scripture and I start to read it that I don't get a message from it. And I believe it should be the same for all of us. Anytime, you know, I've preached differently this year. This is almost the first sermon that I tackle a topic, if I can put it that way. All the previous 6 or 7 sermons was where I read Word and something I believe God spoke to me from Scripture, and I shared it with you guys. A sermon formed from that. So today I'm doing it a little bit the other way around. But read Scripture. It's crucially important. Then fellowship. That's our relationship with believers. Now through through fellowship happens a lot of discipleship. That's why things like small groups are so important, because there will always be more mature people and younger people, okay? And it's the job of the small group or the cell group, you know, when someone new come in and visit the small group, that we draw that person in, that we make sure that he or she is fine with the basic principles of Christianity. You know, we shouldn't just assume it's a person that knows everything. Talk to that person, ask him or her questions, check up on that person. It's wonderful to do it. Then giving, our relationship with money. This is a good thing where discipleship comes in. You know, I've also testified a lot in past. You know, it was very tough for me. I started by tithing 25% of 10%, you know, because it was just tough for me. I didn't grow up that way, okay? But when I learned to understand it, when someone explained it to me, I started to grow in it. And as I just said to Maritza, when we together gave our offering this morning, I said, we can never outgive God. We can never outgive God. But it's something that you're not going to know if you're not in the kingdom yet. Then serving, that's our relationship with other people. I just heard, was it Skola that said, she and Priska and Niakupi went to pray for a girl. You know, when we start to serve other people, you know, when we look away from our own needs and our own sins and things, then we will many times we'll see how blessed we are. But when you just look inward all the time, it's very easy to get to a place of pitying yourself and things like that. But to serve, it's something that you will also learn in discipleship. And then second, lastly, witnessing. That's our relationship with unbelievers. That's where we preach the gospel, we testify, we do soul winning. And then lastly is learning, our relationship with our teachers. And that's where we humble ourselves that we can learn. Because if you've got an attitude of, I know it all, I don't need to be discipled, you're going to get into trouble, I promise you. Okay, so have you learned something now? If you leave church this morning, okay, if you leave church this morning, at least I hope you'll remember 5 of the 10, or even more. If you want to, these points, you can come and get it anytime. Phone us, email me, I'll send it to you. Okay? But it's important that we know that's 10 of the key things when we do discipleship, that you need to learn from your teacher or the person discipling you, and also that you should pass on to the person that you are discipling. Don't assume that person knows about serving or about tithing or about the Word of God. You need to make sure that you help that person to follow, to grow in that. And as I said, I'm going to make sure in the next months to come that we start to get this right, because then we got more capacity as a church. Our nets will be bigger, you know, because if you've got two fathers in a church of 100, you don't have a lot of people that can do discipling. Do you agree with me? Okay, so all of us should grow in this, that we can receive new people. Okay. Right, let's continue. Are you enjoying the sermon? So if I ask you afterwards, do you know what it's about, then at least you've got now 10 things that you can remember. Now, there's two phases in discipleship, and that's the question I ask you this morning. Are you coming or are you going? First of all of us will always receive the call to come to Jesus Christ. It's an invitation. That's the gospel, you know, where we come to Jesus Christ. So first we will be called. That's when you're young. Then you are born again, and then you start to grow. Okay? It's like we can make the comparison of a child that is born in the natural. Now that child has to learn to eat and walk and crawl and everything that all of us have learned. Okay? That's the first. And in Matthew 4 verse 19, and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now I wish I could be there that moment. That must have been awesome. This man, this normal man walking and asking those fishermen, "Follow me." It must have been obviously God inspired, and they did follow him. Okay? So all of us will first receive the call. None of us is just a father born that way. No one. All of us will first receive the call to come to Jesus. Okay? And then secondly, then we grow. Okay, Jesus spent about 3.5 years with his disciples, and then they started really to be on fire. Okay? So it's not something, discipleship, raising someone, isn't something that just happened in 2 weeks or a month or anything like that. It's something, I'm still being discipled. I'm not there yet. I'm not just 100%. I need to learn a lot still. But I do have people from who I learn. Okay? And that's the important thing, and that's the question I'm asking you. And then secondly, obviously, is the go. And that's where Jesus said to his disciples, go into the nations and make disciples. Okay? So I want to ask you guys, and I want all of you to listen now. Are you coming or are you going this morning? And if you are coming or going, at what rate are you doing it? At what rate are you doing it? Because I believe we can do better. And it's not, I don't want to condemn, I don't want to kick people and chase or clap the sweep or anything like that. We can ask it ourselves. You can look in your own heart. That's why I started about with that scripture that says, test yourself. And I'm not trying to preach a good sermon or give you some information or kill time or anything like that. Guys, this is really important. It's a commission that Jesus gave us. Okay? Who of you would like to make disciples? It's important. It's really, really important that we understand this. Now, something I want you guys to remember, it's like a little red light flashing on the side of the sermon this morning. When you follow someone in terms of discipling you, or that person is mentoring you, remember, that person isn't Jesus Christ. If someone is teaching you to play golf, then you look at how that person position his feet, or keep the arms straight, or the back, or the this, or the that. And the same, when you want to be the worship leader one day, look at what the worship leader does. But that person isn't Jesus. Okay? So always remember, and it has happened too many times in the kingdom of God, when that person that's mentoring or discipling you sins or falls or backslides, if I can use that very bad word, you know, don't get offended with God or with the church. It's very important, because that person is also human. It's not supposed to happen. It's not a good thing, but it does happen from time to time. So, for instance, if I'm discipling Paul, stand up, please. See, he does what I say. He's a very good follower. But the point I want to make, if I'm discipling Paul, And now tomorrow you read in the newspapers, Pastor Carl has shot a rhino and cut off the horn and sent it to India for medicine. Please come to church, there will be a new pastor, and keep your relationship with Jesus Christ. Then I've sinned, then I'm wrong. But please understand this thing. Don't now say, yeah, but the church is like this, or you can't trust God, or something like that. Because that's what happened. I've seen it happen many times. Paul was with me. We actually knew each other from Stellenbosch. He was in the Kosai zone, and I'm in the private zone. When we went always to Pastor Sias, and he discipled us as groups. Okay? And Paul will also testify that there has been too many people that has been offended with God or the church because a person that they trusted fell. Okay? And it's very sad. But that's why I'm saying this morning. It should be like a red light. Look at what I'm doing this morning. But I'm not Christ. I'm not. Okay? Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and spend your time with God as well. That person will just help you and explain to you maybe something like tithing or fasting or something like that. Amen. Good. Let's read from 1 John 2 verse 14. And it says, I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now there we can see the stages of discipleship. Little children, young men, and then the fathers. Little children, young men, and the fathers. You can ask yourself again this morning, where are you at right now? Are you a little child? Are you a young man or woman in that sense? Or are you a father or a mother? Okay? And depending what you answer yourself, ask yourself as well, what do you need to do to move on to the next level, to the next step, to the next spiritual place, if I can, not spiritual place, but the place of maturity. I'm not going to ask you where you're at. That's between you and God. But what do you need to do you think, to just move on, say, for instance, from where you are a young man to becoming a father? Something I'm going to leave with you this morning. Okay. I said it talked about test yourself. Now, this is another thing, just on the side, because I believe it's prophetic for us where we are at now. I talked when I preached the last time, you know, about Jesus said, let no one deceive you in the end times. And we are living in the end times. Whether you agree with me, we are living in the end times. We are definitely, guys. We are in the last of the last. Okay? None of us know when Christ is coming back, but it's going to be soon. It's not going to be another 1,000 years or another millennia. This is something I wrote it down. God's strategy for us is to focus on his kingdom. What is the strategy of the devil? It's to focus on ourselves. When we focus at the kingdom and we have that outward focus, it's blessed. Then we can, you will always see, sometimes you don't feel like going to the worship early morning or coming to intercession, but when you have done it, you'll know it's blessed when you have that outward focus. But when the devil can get you to the place, and I say this is prophetic, mark my words for where you are now, because I see it around me. If the devil can isolate you, he get you into offense or anything, and he can let you to focus on yourself, when your prayers sounds like this, God forgive me for doing this, forgive me for doing this and that, you know, for having an inward focus, God, I want this, please give me that. You know, when you pray just for yourself, it's not wrong to pray for you or your family, it's not wrong. But look at the percentage of time that you are spending praying outward for the church, for the city, the nation, for the coming of Christ, for the person you are discipling, in terms of discipling you, or you are discipling that person. Determine how much time are you spending in that prayer versus the prayer sounding like, please forgive me for doing this again, and please God, I need more money. Go and check it a little bit out. And I tell you this morning, God's strategy for us is kingdom-minded. The devil wants you to pray, to have an inward focus, to isolate you. And then another thing, I've said it many times from the pulpit. Guys, we're going to have to walk into a place of accountability. It's not always nice. It's not always something we want to do. But if you can find someone, and I will from my side create opportunities for us, especially the permanent zone, if I can call it that way, to have people that you can connect with. Because it's very nice when you just, it's between you and God in a sense. But it's, if you are accountable to someone, it can save you a lot of bad time in terms of getting things out of your life that you need to do, but because it's just you know about it. When you go to someone and you share a little bit, someone you trust, someone you believe, you know, is an upright person, it's so much easier when you have someone like that and can just, that can hold you accountable. You know, I want to stop smoking. I want to stop smoking, and it's for 5 years. But have someone that can ask you once a week, how are things going? It shouldn't be condemning. It shouldn't be to expose yourself, anything like that. It's just to help you. Because if your accountability partner see, listen, this person has never ever smoked, and now I see Dagga Stompies there in his room, then red lights, then phone me. We sort it out. I'm joking. But that's the principle, that we can pick up like an early warning system. You know, in the north, where the floods are coming, they're checking the satellite photos now for months. They know what's happening, okay? So with each other, if you see, listen, this and that is red lights in another other person's life, then pray about it and let's help each other. It's not for punishing or condemning. It's really to keep your brother and sister on the right road. Offense, just something I want to say about it. You know, usually it starts with someone in church. No? Someone in church offending you. Then it goes on to leadership. Maybe the worship leader or the small group leader or a zone coach or something like that. Then it goes to the pastor. Then someone gets offended by the pastor. And then finally, God. Now I'm offended with God. And that's exactly what the devil wants. So just keep it in mind. Keep it in your heart. If you've got a challenge about that, please speak to someone or pray with someone. But if you see that pattern, I'm offended with someone in church, now it's with a certain level of leadership, then the pastor, God is going to be next, I promise you. And it's sad because then the devil has got you exactly where he wants you to be. And that's not where we want to be ourselves. Philippians 2 verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of the others. Okay, so that's why I just want to read that scripture to you in terms of our prayer life. Look at the interest of others. Okay, look out for each other. Amen. Then, to start to end off with, the four generations of disciples. It's a very nice part in scripture where we can learn from Paul, who's writing to his son Timothy. And he says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Okay? So it's Paul writing to Timothy who's saying, listen, please commit this to faithful men who can teach it to others. So if you can be a Paul teaching a Timothy and he can teach it to other people, or to faithful men and then to other people, you've got the four generations of disciples. And you see, then can you see the picture how much faster we're going to reach people? But if one person is trying to disciple only one person, that's 50. It's going to take a long time to grow. Okay? But if you have one discipling another, then we're really going to make progress. So, we must raise disciple makers. Not just disciples, but people who can make disciples. Because Bill Bright, his famous quote, he said, until you have not made a disciple, you are not a disciple. So you have to make one, almost like, it's like my father. He can, in the natural, say, he made disciples, because obviously he's got me and then our young kids, if I'm talking in the natural. Okay? So if you want to see how good a father you were in the spiritual as well, look at your grandchildren. Not your children, your grandchildren, the third generation. Look at what they are doing. Because if you've done a good job with your spiritual sons, you know, that will manifest in your grandsons. Is that exciting? Guys, it's something I believe that God should stir in our hearts, the Holy Spirit must open it to us, that we should, as a church, start to get this thing right. Okay? We're not bad, 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 but I believe we can do better, really. So it's not just, I'm not condemning you, it includes me first of all. I'm preaching to myself this morning. So I'm going to end off now with just one or two practical things. Things I want you guys to remember, and I also want to challenge you with. Okay? I say discipleship and small groups go hand in hand. It's important. I look at you guys. Please, if you are not in a small group yet, there's many different small groups in church. Please humble yourself and join one. It will be good. Okay. Faith goals. If you are discipling someone, do you have a goal for that person when he can take over from you? Okay? I've sown mine last year. Francois and Panganai, they're not here anymore. Okay? I've sown them to the world, to Zimbabwe and to Mosselbay, Harare. Okay? But someone like a Francois, just to use it as an example, he could take any moment over from me. Because he knows what it's about. So when you are the worship leader, make sure you are raising someone that can take over from you. When you facilitate intercession, make sure if you can't be there that morning, that there's someone that can do the same job as you, or even better. You know, because in the natural, we are very afraid to raise someone that's doing a better job than you, because then you're going to feel, then you are scared you're going to look bad. But let me tell you, if you raise spiritual sons, you want them to do better than yourself. You want them to do better than yourself. If I started preaching at 28, I want my boys to start preaching when they're 22. Okay? And it's not, I don't look bad. I say, thank you, God, because they are doing better than me. I want them to be better at school, to be better at sport, to be better at relationships, to be better at everything than myself. It's not going to intimidate me, but I'm going to be a proud father. So set faith goals for yourself. If it's kiddies church, teach that person to do the job better than yourself. Raise that person. That's the way we are going to grow and expand, and we're going to have capacity to reach more people. Do you pray together for a school, a church, a small group, a this or a that? Pray together with that person. Agree for something. Okay? And then obviously I said about the accountability partner. That is something, please, if you want more on this, I would almost ask you guys that pray about it in your heart and go to someone in your small group, someone you've got a good relationship with, preferably in church, that you can go to and just say, listen, we're going to email each other once a week or meet for a coffee or this or that, and then we're going to talk about my issues and yours and just check, are we still okay? Are there any red lights? Okay? So, Leanne, Harry, can you guys please come to the stage and just, okay? So, guys, I want to ask you this morning, in closing, okay? I want to ask all of you to please close your eyes. And I want to ask you a question or two this morning. But I want you to answer it yourself and to examine yourself and to test yourself, okay? Because if I'm asking you this question today, maybe God is going to ask you the same. Because if He gave us a commission, you know, He's going to ask us. God is going to ask me one day, Carl, what did you do with the wife I've given you? In what way did you raise the kids that are entrusted to you? So God is going to hold us accountable for our gifts, the ministries we are in. Now, I don't want to condemn guys this morning. I want to encourage. So, but I need to ask these questions that we can just look a little bit in the mirror and see how things are going. So I want to ask you this morning, are you coming or are you going? And for both of them, at what pace are you doing it? Can you go a little bit faster? Maybe from second to fourth gear? What must you do to grow to the next stage? If you know you're one of the little ones and you want to become a young man or a father, what do you think? Or trust the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you time right now. What must you do to grow to the next place? And then also, are you actually in a position, in a place of where you are humbling yourself, where you're creating time that someone can disciple you? And then secondly, are you discipling someone? Are you taking someone under your wing, someone that you know you can help? Guys, I ask it with a sincere heart. Please let us get this things right. And then lastly, I'm asking a lot of questions. Lastly, when was your last testimony? When was your last testimony? When I ask you to testify about something, it mustn't be 2 years ago when God came through for you. When you are following Jesus, it can't be boring. When you're making disciples, when you're coming and you're going, it can't be boring. When you are following Jesus Christ, it won't be boring. And where's your last testimony? The disciples that 2010 years ago followed Jesus, they saw many miracles. And we must all, me included, ask ourselves, when was our last testimony that you can testify about? When you can glorify God for something happening in the life of you or your family or in the life of your spiritual son or daughter. I'm going to give us a bit of time that you just think about these questions this morning and just do a bit of introspection. Father God, I want to thank you this morning, Lord God, that you spoke to our hearts, Lord God. And I trust, Lord God, that concerning making disciples, Lord, something that you told us to do, Father God, that we will really start to make progress, Lord, that we can make disciples, Lord, that you will show us, Father God, how to disciple people, how to love them and rebuke them and teach them and minister to them, Lord God, and to mentor them, to show them how to do the things that we already know to do. Lord, I pray that you'll give us the heart that Jesus had in terms of making disciples, Lord. Lord, that 12 disciples of his, Lord, changed the world. Father God, and I trust, Father, that you'll stir it in our hearts, that your fire will burn in our hearts, Father God, that we can make disciples, that we can reach the nations and the generations. Father God, I pray this morning and I ask, Lord God, that I call on people, Lord, that you'll send them to us, people that we can disciple. Lord, our hearts and our church is open, Lord God. And I trust, Lord God, that you will raise young babies, Lord, to be young men, and young men to be fathers, Lord God. That we can grow, Lord God, that we can receive and that we can give, Lord God. And you say in your word, Lord, it's more blessed to give than to receive, Lord God. And Father, I trust, Lord God, that with our busy lives, Lord God, and the things that we are doing, Lord God, and maybe the devil is telling us, but we're too young, or maybe he's telling us we're too busy, or maybe he's telling us we don't have enough time, Lord, or maybe we don't know enough, or we're still too young Christians. But Lord, I want to break those lies in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, that you will show us our strengths, Lord, and according to that, Lord God, that we can raise disciples, that we can love people, and that we will see them grow, Lord, and that we will see them overtake us, Lord God, and Lord, that they will be the people that will change the world with us. Because, Lord, in our own strength, we can do nothing. But, Lord, when you say, go to the nations, go to the end of the world, Lord God, it's because you really have a heart, and it's really because your desire is for all men to be saved, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will stir it in our hearts, and it will be part of the way we think, Father God. Lord, I pray a blessing over every family represented here, for us, for sound minds, Lord God, for hearts that is willing to work, Lord God. And Father God, that you'll protect us by the blood of Jesus Christ, Father God. And Lord, that you'll give all of us, young and old, Lord God, male and female, Father God. And if, whether we're studying or working, Lord, that you'll give us wisdom, Lord God, for every day, for the things we need to do, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I can't pray for you to be a disciple and then you're going to be a disciple. But what I want to ask is this, if there's any one of you that feel you need prayer regarding making disciples, being discipled, anything like that. Maybe you feel in your heart, I just don't have enough confidence to go and make a disciple because the devil is telling you don't know enough. Or maybe you think in your heart, I want to be discipled, but I'm just too proud. Maybe this or maybe that. So if there's any one of you guys, if you need this, if you need prayer this morning, regarding the sermon, the things that I talk about, please come to the front. We would love to pray with you. And then if there's anyone sitting here this morning and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, when I talked about born again and things like that and you didn't know what I'm talking about, if there's anyone like that, I would also invite you to come to the front. I would love to pray with you this morning. And then lastly, if there's any one of you and you just feel bad or down and you feel like you need prayer, I can do nothing for you, but we can pray to Jesus. Okay? So I want to invite you for those three groups. If you need prayer this morning, please come to the front. The rest of you guys, please have fellowship at the back and start to disciple each other. Okay? Over a cup of coffee. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'm looking forward to see you next week. Amen.